You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your busy day to join me as we together are studying the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for even waking us up today. We praise and exalt you in your holy name. Speak to us through your word now. Lead us and guide us. We listen for your voice. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I thank you for joining me. This is WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We just have wrapped up Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to give it a brief recap here. Starting on Monday, in Monday's broadcast, we will be in Revelation chapter 4, where everything is going to change here. First, let me just get some information out on this ministry. You can follow us and follow all these podcasts and radio broadcasts either on Facebook by going to WGOD Radio or Twitter at WGOD Radio. And our website is www.wgodontheair.net. And all of these programs are uploaded on there as well. So if you missed this program, or if you want to go back and hear something that you heard before, or if you'd like to hear the Sunday sermons. Now, I pastor Island Community Church, and that church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. And here this coming week will be week two in this five-week series looking at the sovereignty of God. There's this famous acronym known as TULIP, which describes the sovereignty of God and which describes how a person gets saved, really. That it's all of the Lord and none of us. That's what we're looking at here. What's known as the 5 points of Calvinism. Yesterday, my sermon was on the first part of that. Actually, it was, what does it mean to be sovereign? That program is uploaded here at WGODradio.com. And if you click on the link that says prior broadcasts, you will find the podcast from yesterday's sermon uploaded. And now here on Sunday nights, we're going over the Sunday morning sermon and opening it up for question and answers. So this coming week will be the U in TULIP, which is unconditional election. That's what we're looking at. What does it mean to be sovereign? We're in this series right now, this five-week series. Week two is coming up next week. Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 19, he says, "Write therefore the things which you saw," that is, visions of him up in heaven, "the things which are," and that is the church age, "and the things which shall be hereafter." Now, this is a key to understanding this book, is the three-part division of this book, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. We're going to see that again when we get to chapter 17, seeing the beast that was and is not and shall be again. We're going to use that mentality again, past, present, and future. Now, that's our understanding of this book. It's a three-part division. He has seen the things which were, the things which are the present day, at least as of him, the present day as of you. And that is the church age. This is what we're living in right now. I believe at the end of the church age, in the last church age, prior to the Lord's return, is the one we've been looking at here this week here on WGOD, and that is this church in Laodicea. Now to the messenger or the pastor of the church in Laodicea, right? All right, now really, the Lord's figuratively, he's calling the pastor into his office, and he's shutting the door. Now that's always a bad sign whenever that happens. But it's not your boss here. It's not some mucky muck. It's the Son of God. He's knocking on the door. He's calling you into your own office, and then he's going to shut the door. He's going to have a private little conversation with this pastor. This is what he says to him. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish, or I could wish, that you were cold or hot. I brought out the point the other day. What did he mean by that? I could wish. It is, if it would mean any different. Not going to make a difference. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Therefore, since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. Now, remember my definition for lukewarm. To be lukewarm means to be the same temperature as your surroundings. That's what the word means. What else would it mean? Worldly. Worldly. Being worldly. Having a worldly church that is doing worldly things to get people into the door. Whereas we know what the Bible warns and tells us about this. As it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and its lusts. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Notice the contradiction, the difference there. The difference there between the world. The world is passing away and its lust, but he who does the will of God, that's the total opposite of that. He who does the will of God will abide forever. Also, when you go to James chapter 4, verse 4, reads like this. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now that's something that Pastor Paul recommends that you not be classified as. You don't want to be known as the enemy of God. I hear it all the time. I hear preachers say all the time, there's nothing you could ever do that affects your relationship with God. And I say to that is a pile of rubble. If you partner up and buddy with this world and let this world influence you, I say to you on the authority of the word of God, yeah, you might be saved, but you're an enemy of God. Is that what you want? Do you want to be an enemy of God? I know you don't. Neither do I. This is why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, "Come out from among them. Come out of this wicked world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not what is unclean, and I will receive you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He's calling you and I out of this evil world. This is the problem with this lukewarm church. They're the same temperature as their surroundings. That is their worldliness. Worldly. The old Thompson Chain Study Bible calls this spiritual condition half-heartedness. Think about that one. Half-hearted, a half-hearted Christian. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, when we were saying grace at night, you know, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food, amen. Now, anyone can do that on any given day, but when that describes you, that's half-heartedness. And he says, I could wish you were hot or cold. That is, Don't even say your prayers over lunch if it's going to be that way every day. If that describes you, don't even do it. Don't waste your time saying grace over your lunch, over your food, over your dinner, if that's what you're going to do. If you're going to be dead fish, lukewarm, milk toast, half-hearted Christian, then don't bother and don't waste your time, because that's an affront to him. He could take it. Even if you're cold, he can take it. And David was hot. You see, now David sinned mightily, but he was forgiven. He was hot. He was on fire for the Lord. God could take that. David did great and mighty things. Sometimes he sins and sinned in mighty ways as well. And yet the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Therefore, since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is, you make me sick. Because you say, now this is verse 17, notice the church is deceived. The church that has a lot of money sometimes can be deceived because they think that because of the size of their bank account or because of all the programs that they're doing, that everything is right. And the Lord says, you're deceived. Verse 17, because you say, I am wealthy and have become rich and have need of nothing. But yet you do not know that you were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold, having been tried by fire, so that you may become rich, and white robes, so that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not appear, and eye salve, so that you may anoint your eyes in order that you may see. Now, back in this culture, unlike today, there is no greater shame than being naked. Look what happened to Noah's son when it said he uncovered his father's nakedness. He cursed him. There is no greater shame back in that time than being naked. I think of David's soldiers, too, when they had their half of their beards cut off, and then they were made naked in their rear end. And it was a great embarrassment and shame, and David sent them away. But today, well, I won't even go there. Let's move on. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, that's the answer to this problem here. Be zealous. If you find yourself half-hearted, I don't condemn you. Friend, I encourage you. We all can get in this condition. It says in Matthew chapter 24 that because of lawlessness will increase, the love of many will wax cold. This is easy for this to happen to us. So I don't condemn you. I exhort you. Do what Jesus said. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That is, turn from it. Leave your sin right there in the ground. Turn from it. Confess it, make an about face, and go in the other direction, and use the rest of your days and the rest of your time here on fire for God. That's what he wants you to do. Spend the rest of your days, whether you're 70 or 80 years old, whether you're 50, whether you're 30, whether you're 18 or 19. If you're 18 or 19, God bless. You started a lot earlier than me that was 30 years old. I encourage you, God's got you alive at the end of the age for a reason, and he wants to use you. I leave you with this question. Is your name on God's Rolodex today? When God has a job to do, is he able to flip through his Rolodex and go, aha, my servant, ... Is that you? Are you on God's Rolodex today? We'll be back again soon with a new program here on WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at